Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Otro córner, otro chicharro. Cada córner es un gol. ¡Ay, mi madre! Marcó Suiza, marcó en bolo. España 1, Suiza 2.
Ánimo, Manolo.
Atrás, hay un problemón.
Pero ¿cómo no voy a pedir que venga Sergio Ramos? ¿Cómo
Pero
no lo voy a pedir?
Se va tardando, Manolo. Sí.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host, Matt Clark, and I'm delighted to be joined from sunny Spain by Roman de Arque. How are you, Roman?
Good, very good. Of course, missing the club football, but I guess we have to conform ourselves sometimes with these nation league games, although it didn't go very well for Spain, so I didn't enjoy that as much as I would have.
Indeed, yes. Spain suffering their first home defeat in 4 years at the hands of the Swiss, 2-1 in Zaragoza. Not a great game by Spain in any shape or form, really. Poor in attack, pretty sloppy at the back in set pieces. There's lots to discuss, Roman. But first of all, what did you make of the lineup? I mean, Marco Asensio started, Jordi Alba started, six Barca players included in the 11. What did you make of the way Lucho lined them up?
Well, I mean, with Lucho, I'm never surprised anymore because you can expect so many different things and changes, and that's what happens. You expect some few players to play, and then suddenly it's the complete opposite. So, I mean, it was a bit unexpected, especially seeing, I guess, Asensio, you know, up front as the main player in attack, which definitely caught everyone off guard, I think, because we know he hasn't been playing much with Real Madrid, and we didn't expect him, you know, to be on the best form to start, but there he was. And of course, Jordi Alba, seeing that he isn't playing with Barca either too often, it's also a bit of a surprise. But, you know, the Luis Enrique, he has his own criteria, his own way of seeing things, and what he sees in the training ground, that's what he bases mainly his decisions on. So if they're doing well, then he goes for them. And yeah, it was definitely an unexpected lineup. It definitely didn't work out well, as we saw with the final score. But at the same time, I do think that Luis Enrique was probably thinking more about the Portugal game, even though the Switzerland game would have made things much easier. Now they have to, you know, it's a life or death kind of situation in the Nations League. They want to win it against Portugal. But at the same time, Luis Enrique knows it's a better preparation game for the World Cup, I think, you know, because Portugal is a very tough team. So if they can play well against them, that would definitely change maybe the reaction or how we feel this Spain team is doing, you know. And so I think that's a very important one, and we're definitely going to see more changes there. I don't think it's going to be like the lineup we saw against Switzerland.
Yeah, it was very interesting, isn't it, depending on how people view the Nations League in general. Lots of people think it's a glorified friendly. Others would say it's quite an important competition to gauge where you're at against similar opponents. And Lucho said before the game it was the strongest week he'd seen in training from the team. So he was pretty confident going in. And then after the game, he didn't seem too concerned, saying that it was the most sloppy he'd seen his side be in any of the games he's taken charge of. But of course, that's all he really put it down to. He said there's still no doubts for him, for any of the players that he's got in his squad. So he said it was a bit of a bonus game, and that, you know, now they have to win in Portugal anyway, but they would have had to have got at least a draw even if they'd won this game. So he basically said it's all on this game now. It's a final. So it adds the pressure to that. But yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, we've been here before with Spain and Switzerland. They lost the opening game of the 2010 World Cup to the Swiss in South Africa, and that turned out okay. So perhaps this is a good omen going into the World Cup. But yeah, really sterile in possession, I think. Over 700 passes, 400 of them coming in the Swiss half, Roman. But very few chances, just 0.4 XG in the entire match and zero shots on target in the first half. I mean, how can a Spain team with this much quality be so insipid in terms of chance creation?
Well, I mean, I think it's something we've seen before with Spain. Maybe not so much with Luis Enrique, but maybe before with Roberto Moreno, you know. I mean, sometimes it was a bit disappointing to see how Spain has all that quality, as you said, in midfield, but then really struggles to produce at the end. And I think with Luis Enrique, we had improved in that aspect as of late. We saw it, like, for example, in the Euro Cup, where I think Spain were pretty decent in most of the games, and also in the latest games they've played after that. But it does feel like a bit of a step back, you know. We shouldn't also forget that Switzerland is a decent team, you know. Let's not forget what they did to France last year, quite recently. I mean, they're a way stronger team for me than they used to be compared to that example you gave of the 2010 World Cup, where we lost against them. It's a different side. They're strong. They have much more pace. And of course, they're out dangerous in knowing how Spain, you know, likes to have the ball and go forward. Those counterattacks did expose the defense at times, and it's definitely going to be a problem against stronger sides like maybe Portugal, for example. So that's something to keep an eye out for. But yeah, I think there's still time to improve. 3 months before the World Cup, the Nations League, if you win it, you like it, you know, it's a trophy you value. If you don't win it, you don't care as much about it, that's a fact. But of course, it'll be nice to at least compete and do well. And as I said, it's going to be a very good test, mainly towards the World Cup for me, because if you can get a good result against a strong team like Portugal, then your hopes and motivations are much higher and much better. So we'll just have to see how things develop in the next game and what changes he can make to improve those attacking options.
Yeah, a few stuttering moments in attack. Of course, Alvaro Morata didn't play a single minute in this game, so you would imagine he will feature against Portugal. But let's talk about the defence then, because as you say, a little bit exposed on the break, but really the main problem was set pieces. I mean, two goals for Switzerland, both coming from corners, really avoidable. I mean, the first one, Azpilicueta just isn't strong enough. He's out-muscled by Akanji. And in the second one, Akanji just manages to lose his marker to get that flick on at the near post. And with about six or seven Spain players all around Brille Embolo, the ball just somehow deflects into the back of the net. It looked really messy, as we heard from that commentary at the start. Really frustrating to see a team so sloppy at set pieces. I mean, it was Sunday league defending, wasn't it? But what do you make of the defence in general? And should we be too concerned, given that there are plenty of absentees, the likes of Aymeric Laporte, who will surely come back in if he's fit?
Yeah, I mean, I think having Laporte, for example, there, it's definitely a very physical and he's a tall guy. You know, his presence is really something Spain needs quite often. I mean, Pau Torres and Eric Garcia are good players, but I think Laporte just has an extra, you know, punch in that sense in the aerial aspect and in those kind of duels. And it's true that the defense has always been a bit of a problem, we could say, in a way. It's not the most reliable. It's not a defense you can trust 100%, even though the players are good. But it's also the way Spain plays, as I said. You know, they like to go forward. They like to have the ball. They like to push the lines up. And of course, in counterattacks, when you have pacey players, there's always that risk. And tracking back is a problem. And then the situation with the set pieces here, as you mentioned, in the corners. I mean, I think that's something you can fix and improve. It's maybe easier to correct, I'd say, than defending a counterattack, for example, you know, where you have to just track back and be aware and be in the right position to be able to cut the play. Whereas a corner kick, I think you can position maybe your defenders better. And if you have other options, as we said, like Laporte, etc., I think that can also help. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about that. If of course, in the game against Portugal, we see that we have the same problem, then I would start to worry. But if it's just a one-off against Switzerland, then I think it shouldn't be as dramatic maybe as it might have seemed right after the game, you know. So maybe Luis Enrique will be capable of making some corrections there, and we won't suffer as much in those set pieces, hopefully.
Yeah, as we said, he put it more down to just sloppiness rather than anything too systemic. Just, again, speaking about these centre-backs, the starting pair yesterday was Pau Torres and Eric García, two players who performed very well for their clubs in recent weeks. Maybe not so much Pau Torres this season so far, but do you think they combine well, or do you think they are perhaps too similar in terms of their profiles, in terms of ball-playing centre-backs? Good on the eye, but maybe not so robust as the likes of maybe Iñigo Martínez or Aymeric Laporte, for example.
Yeah, I think your definition was spot on. I mean, it's kind of the feeling that they are very similar, like to really have the ball. And it's something that I guess Luis Enrique really values. You know, he wants his centre-backs to have good control of that ball and be able to move it forward and generate spaces. But, I mean, it is good sometimes to have a more physical player, I think, to combine, you know, a guy who can bring out the ball, another one who can be more of a leader at the back. And maybe Pau Torres or Enrique are not really that profile. That's what I was saying before, that maybe a guy like Laporte could provide a bit more in the physical aspect. So I really love those players, as I said, but of course, it also depends on the way you play, as we said. You know, imagine if Spain were a team that were shut down at the back and all four players were supported by the midfielders and really closing down, they wouldn't probably struggle as much. You know, in the end, you have to also be very aware that it's complicated to defend the way Spain likes to, because their way of defending is mainly having the ball rather than actually defending sometimes. So that's why they struggle, and it's something we're definitely going to have problems with in the World Cup. I have no doubt that lots of goals are going to be, you know, complicated counter-attacks where maybe we're a bit out of position and we won't be able to track back on time. But I know, I mean, we do have good defenders, but of course it's just difficult. The way we play, I think, is just complicated stuff for us.
Yeah, quite a complex conundrum for Luis Enrique to solve. One solution, in the eyes of the Madrid press at least, could be the former captain, Sergio Ramos. It was quite a call for him before the squad was announced. Marca saying he was in the pre-list, but he wasn't in the main squad, of course. Do you think there is a way for him to be on the plane to Qatar, or do you think that ship has sailed?
Well, I really am not sure how that relationship between Luis Enrique and Sergio Ramos might be at the moment. I remember back in the days there was a bit of a controversial situation with Luis Enrique not being too happy with Ramos, so I don't know if that's been solved. But I mean, if he brought back Jordi Alba, why not bring back Sergio Ramos, you know, knowing how his relationship with Alba was not good at Barca. Now he's starting him in front of other fullbacks. So, I mean, if he's at a good level and performing well, there's definitely a possibility, you know. But let's not forget the other day that highlight between Olympique Lyon and PSG where Lacazette left Ramos falling on the floor. I'm sure that didn't do too well for him. But I mean, that's just, of course, an anecdote. And if Ramos is at a high level and he's performing with his club and Luis Enrique sees that he could be a man to really make use of, then go ahead, you know, bring him in. We need the best players possible to win. And it doesn't matter if you have a grudge against the player, if you can make the most and have him on, then go ahead, you know.
Yeah, certainly would bring a lot of experience to what is now quite a young and fresh team in many respects. So let's talk about some of the positives then, because there were a few. Debuts for Nico Williams and Borja Iglesias in front of his old former stadium, former fans in Zaragoza, and Jeremy Pino too. They all came on just after the hour mark, and I think it's fair to say Spain looks quite a lot better with all three of those playing. Nico especially bright. Again, it's just that final ball didn't quite come off, but encouraging signs, weren't they?
Yeah, especially those players that are having, you know, not as many opportunities as the others with their national team. They come on, they really show that they want to prove the manager, you know, that they're worthy and they give their 100%. So that's always really refreshing, you know, to have these kind of players coming in and going all in to try and prove their worth, basically. So, I mean, in that sense, that's definitely a big positive. I mean, every time, I mean, players know that Luis Enrique values and keeps an eye out for everyone, you know, and you can get your opportunity at any time. So once you have it, you have to make the most of it. And I think they didn't score, but I mean, they were there and they were generating as much as they could. Take into account, of course, the context, the situation that Spain was really struggling in the game. They were a bit of a brush of fresh air, we could say, in a way. So it's good to see that the newcomers are doing well and, you know, making the most of it.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll hopefully see more of them in the coming matches. So then let's look ahead briefly to the Portugal game then. The Portuguese looking pretty ominous form, winning 4-0 against the Czechs. And Cristiano didn't even score. So the games between Spain and Portugal have been quite tight in recent times. There was that thrilling 3-3 draw in the last World Cup and then three lower scoring draws since then. Do you think it's beyond Spain to go there and win? Or given that Portugal know a draw is enough for them, they'll be pretty resolute the way that Fernando Santos tends to like to set up. Do you think Spain will have enough craft and guile to get through, and And at the other side, will they be able to keep Portugal out?
I mean, I do think Spain will have a chance to win. It's true, as you said, Fernando Santos is quite a defensive-minded manager. For me, he's not really the best manager for Portugal in the sense that they have so much quality there that sometimes it feels like he's not making the most of it. You know, there's lots of talent in that Portuguese squad to generate much more entertaining football and attacking football. But, I mean, it's his way of doing things. He's won Euro Cups before, you know. He's got the experience, and I guess it's not something we can take off of him. You know, he's good with what he does in the end, and definitely we could see a more defensive Portugal, knowing that, as you said, they just need that draw. So it will be tougher in that sense, because Spain will have that extra anxiety maybe to get the goals, to go forward and to win it, whereas Portugal don't have the same pressure. They just need to sit back and wait for their opportunities. And as I said before, Spain are a team that like to go forward, so in those counterattacks, when you have players with pace, such as Cristiano, for example, who's still quick despite his age, they'll definitely have their opportunities there. So it will be a tough game, but I do think that if Spain can correct those mistakes and generate like they have done in other games this year, I mean, they should have their chances to win, no doubt.
Yeah, well, we'll have fingers crossed from a Spanish point of view they can go and do that. They did beat the Germans 6-0 in a similar sort of situation in the last edition of the Nations League, of course, so we'll see how they get on Tuesday. Well, thanks for that, for Roman. In part two, we'll look at some other things making the news in Spanish football. We'll talk about the FIFA curse and some drama in the women's game and plenty of other things besides. So stay tuned.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. It's part two of our podcast here, looking at the Nations League. We've touched on Spain's game against the Swiss and their upcoming game with Portugal. But let's talk about some other things making the news in Spanish football. It was a really dramatic week in the women's game. 15 players sending out a comunicado against the coach, Jorge Vilda. It caused a lot of uproar in the federation, the RFEF. They then released a statement to say that these players would no longer be considered for selection unless they apologised for what they had said. Roman, what a mess, basically. What's your take on it all?
Yeah, it's a super complicated situation because, I mean, on the one hand, you do feel like the players might be trying to abuse their power, you know, like trying to get the manager out because they don't like him. We saw something kind of similar at Barca when, having a really good season, they got a new manager to come in. Well, the second manager in this case to take over the main one. And I mean, so in one way, it does feel like it's maybe wrong from the players. But at the same time, if you have actually 15 players, which is a lot of them, against the manager, I mean, definitely there's something there, you know, something you have to look into. And I think the federation in that sense are being too, a bit too... Not dumb, but they should be more flexible, you know, to understanding what they want and why they want this. because, I mean, as I said, 15 players is a big number. The thing is that in the information they've been giving the players of why they want a new manager, they really haven't given a decent explanation. So, I mean, they do talk about the lack of intensity in trainings, that the day-to-day, the way the manager carries out the day-to-day, they don't really like, how he's been laying out the team in the games. They're also not happy with that. But those don't seem like very convincing reasons. You know, that's really not enough to push this hard against Bilda. So it's definitely very strange. I do feel like there's something there. There was this rumor according to El Mundo Deportivo, they were saying that Bilda is sometimes a bit too dictatorial, you know, a bit strict in some things he does. He goes and is maybe not respecting the intimacy of the players in some moments. So, I mean, that definitely could be one of the reasons, and I would understand that the players aren't happy with the manager that's just taking certain things too far in their day-to-day. But at the same time, it's as I said, it's really complicated. And there's another theory that I've been reading, more than a theory, there's been information regarding this, that between Bilda and Real Madrid, there's a very good connection there, where Ana Rosé, which is the sports director of Madrid, has a really good relationship with Bilda, and so that Madrid players have certain, we could say, priority when it comes to being selected for the squad. And an example of this was that in the previous Euro Cup, when the selection of players was given, there were three strikers from Real Madrid, whereas Real Sociedad, who had been second in the league that season, had zero strikers. And they're both strikers, Nerea Izaguirre and Amayur, had more goals than any of the three strikers selected by Real Madrid, which of course is quite surprising. Until last minute, Jenny Hermoso got injured, so one of the Real Sociedad players did come on, but she barely played, I think it was 20 minutes in the Euro Cup. So this has also been said that could be one of the reasons why they're not happy, and also why the players from Real Madrid didn't sign, because out of the 15 players, none of the Real Madrid players are included. So it's said that from the club, they've told them to stay a bit away from this pressure against Bilda. So I'm going on for long, but it's really, really complex. There are so many theories, so many things are being said, and ultimately I think there should be some sort of agreement. But what seems clear to me is that Bilda honestly can't continue, because you can't have so many players against you, and we're talking about some of the best Spanish players, not like players you can easily replace with other ones, you know. So I think Bilda's situation is very delicate, and despite having full support from the federation, I think they should really consider maybe just finding a new manager, you know, and starting afresh in that sense.
Yeah, it's a very messy situation, very complex, multifaceted, of course. And I think it's worth spending quite a lot of time on, because it is a huge story in Spain and across the world, because after these 15 players came out on Thursday night, they had support from the likes of Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan, of course, US stars, basically saying that, Megan Rapinoe put on Instagram, she said she is the 16th player. So she was very much supporting those 15. Two players that didn't sign but also support this motion is Irene Paredes and Alexia Putellas. The reasons being that in Paredes' case, according to Relevo, she was kind of stigmatized as the ringleader in the last time they voiced concerns back in August about Bilda, and therefore she didn't want to be seen as the ringleader this time. And in Putellas' case, she of course is injured, so wasn't in this particular squad. And therefore wasn't included in this list of signatories. So yes, very messy. As you say, none of the Real Madrid players were signatories, which could indicate, like you suggested, a bit of a club split there. But as you say, the federation are certainly not going to budge on this. At least that's how it seems. They're convinced that these players just won't play, and they'll fill up the squad with youth players. And that's the way they're holding firm on this. So, as we say, a very messy situation. You can read more about this on our Substack, a very good article by Lauren McCann, which will be out on Monday morning, same as this podcast. So check that out as well as all our other content, laligalowdown.substack.com for that. Roman, let's talk then about the FIFA curse, which has struck in a big way for your team, Football Club Barcelona.
Yeah,
indeed. Many of us quite like internationals, many of us can't stand it, but of course you can't do anything about it, and for Xavi, he must be tearing his hair out, because first of all, Jules Koundé goes off in the first half of France's game against Austria, injured. At first it didn't seem too bad, but then it appears it's a hamstring injury. And then in Uruguay, Ronald Araujo less than 1 minute into the game, he pulls up injured too. And that seemed to be the more serious of the injuries, but both look pretty bad. At least a month off for both, probably longer for Araujo. And with the fixture list coming up in October for Barca, I mean, we've got two games against Inter Milan, plus the Clásico, just to name a few. This is very untimely, to say the least, isn't it?
It's such bad luck, you know, and it's not just them. Also, De Jong had some problems. Memphis, I think, is going to be out for a while. And Dembele, I think, also had some problems. But in the end, thankfully, it seems like he'll be okay. But, I mean, how unlucky can you be for so many of your players? And two really important ones, you know, in defense, as you said, Koundé and Araujo are crucial for us. And especially with those games we're going to have, the Champions League against Inter Milan, Real Madrid in La Liga, etc. I mean, we would really love to have them. I have heard that Koundé could arrive maybe for the Madrid game if he really works full-time on his recovery. So fingers crossed in that sense. And the problem with Araujo, like, it depends on whether he has to be operated or not. The thing is, if he's operated, which apparently the club is quite interested in getting him to get operated, then he'd likely miss the World Cup. And then a guy like Araujo, you know that he's probably dying to play for his country in a World Cup. So kind of worried a similar Umtiti situation could come up there, where he'll skip his operation and, you know, it could lead to problems in the future. Of course, we're not talking about the knee, but still, you never know with these things, you know. So that's something worrying. And in the case of Araujo also, I mean, to get injured after, what I think it was 20 seconds or something like that, it feels like maybe he had already some sort of discomfort before the game, and he just decided to play, and it didn't prove to be a good decision. Because, I mean, 20 seconds in is really quickly, you know. I know. It's just such bad luck in the end for Barca. And Xavi luckily has a very deep squad. That's important. We still have important players that can help us at the back. And Piqué is definitely going to be a very happy man because he might get his chances to play again. But yeah, overall, awful for Barca, who will have to recover from this somehow.
Really rotten run of luck for Barca, and still some games to come in the international break. So, of course, it could yet get worse. But as you say, opportunities, therefore, for the likes of Christensen and Eric Garcia himself to continue playing. All right, then let's finally on the podcast, let's have a little look at some of the other results from the international break so far. I mean, a lot of focus on Spain being quite poor yesterday in their game against Switzerland. But to be fair, not many of the other top nations in Europe, at least, have looked too convincing either. I mean, Germany lost at home. England lost again without scoring. They haven't scored a single non-penalty goal in this Nations League campaign. And France, yes, they got the win, but still plenty of doubts around the reigning world champion. So, Roman, I guess it kind of comes back to that question about the Nations League in itself and how much players are really bothered in this particular window with club football so tightly packed and then the World Cup on the horizon. Should we read too much into it, or should we start to think that actually the European sides do look a little bit out of kilter before the tournament?
I mean, I think so. I think some of the favourites for the World Cup are just not looking as favourites, we could say. It's true that, as we were saying, the Nations League might not be the most reputed trophy there is out there. But, I mean, it's more also like a preparation, you know, for that World Cup. So you want to show the world that you're at a good level. So it's really surprising to see. So if you're trying to pick a favourite to win the World Cup, you usually go for France. Germany are usually there, you know, Spain, England, etc. But seeing how they're performing, you're having doubts, and you're coming up with you know, ideas that they might not make it as far as you'd expect. So it is quite strange and unexpected, you know, to see. Of course, there's still another Nations League game. We'll see how that goes, and there's still 3 months or a few months before the World Cup starts. But it's definitely something we wouldn't expect, and especially France, who have that amazing squad, and they have really been struggling this Nations League. That's something I'm pretty surprised with, because, you know, the likes of Mbappe, we know that Benzema is injured, but still, he was available in earlier games, you know, and that midfield they have, I mean, they have such quality, but then at the same time, they're not being great. So it will be interesting to see, and it maybe might make it more of an open World Cup, we can say, in that sense, with more teams maybe surprising us, underdogs coming out of nowhere and maybe making it further than we'd expect.
Should be fascinating to see. I think there's quite a lot talking up the South American giants, Brazil and Argentina at the moment. Messi and Neymar looking in formidable form in particular. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but less than 60 days to go now before that first game. So, you know, I think a lot of the coaches will be thinking, I've still got quite a lot of work to do before things get underway in Qatar.
For for sure.
Well, thank you very much, Roman, for your time. We will be back. You're very welcome. It's a pleasure to have your insight. We will be back midweek with a reflection on Spain's final against Portugal in the Nations League, as well as then looking ahead to match day 7 in La Liga, which thankfully resumes on Friday. In the meantime, we'll have newsletters out on Monday, Wednesday and Friday to keep you across everything that's happening in Spanish football. So that's where you can go for that. Make sure you follow us at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter as well. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the Spain-Portugal game. Let's hope Spain can get over the line and reach the final four again. But if they don't, we'll be back talking La Liga anyway. So thanks very much again for your time and adios.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.